All right, let's go to James 1:19. Name of my message tonight is trust God. Or I'm sorry, God is good. Let him do his work. Amen. God is good. Let him do his work. We're going to be coming out of guess what book we're going to be coming out of tonight? James. You know, James has always been probably, besides the Gospels, one of my favorite books in the Bible. And I've preached James. I've brought a lot of messages out of James, but I must say that I've never seen the book of James as I'm seeing the book of James right now. That's why when we sit there, we must learn, church, that many, many times we read through the Word of God, and many times we quit reading God's Word. Why? Because we simply have the idea that I've already read that, and we don't think that there's anything else that we can get out of it. In other words, we think we're smarter than God is. Amen? So we say, I've already read that, I've already heard that message, I've already heard this, I've already heard that. But the Word of God says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? So if your faith tank is low, it's because you ain't been putting nothing in it. Amen? If your car is low on gas, it's because you ain't putting nothing in it. And if faith ain't coming, amen, then it's because you ain't putting it in. And how do you put it in? By hearing the Word, by reading the Word, by listening to the Word, by preaching the Word to yourself, standing in front of the mirror, speaking the Word of God to yourself, amen? Getting up in the morning, spending time with God. Getting up in the morning, spending time in prayer. Getting up in the morning, spending time reading, in a devotion, something. Do something, amen? But don't just do nothing. Because if what you're doing is not working, then do something else. Amen? James, we're going to start out in James chapter 1, verse 19. And in James 1, 19, it says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We ended Sunday on verse 19. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. Father God, I thank you for your word, for it's alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord God, I ask right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, that Father God, you would give me the ability to explain this word in a way that's applicable unto the people, that the enemy not come immediately and steal the word, but the word go forth in power and authority, doing exactly what you've sent it to do, not returning unto you void. Lord, you know exactly what needs to be done in our hearts. You know exactly what needs to be done in our minds. Even though there may be people in here tonight, Father God, that may be hearing the same word with their physical ear, you know exactly what needs to be done in their spiritual heart. So, Father God, I pray that this word go forth and that you conform this word as it comes out of my mouth to meet the needs of those under the sound of my voice. Not only those that are in here tonight, but those that are watching by way of Facebook, internet, that, Father God, we know there's no time, there's no distance in the Spirit. And we know that you can do exactly anything that you want to do anywhere in the world whenever you want to do it. So, Father God, we put that trust in you. We serve a mighty, mighty God, and we give you the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. James 1:19, it says, wherefore. See, that word wherefore ties it into the previous verses that we was talking about. So it goes, when we see the word wherefore, or in the New King James, it says so then we know that he is coming to a conclusion, a bottleneck, amen, off of what he was talking about. So when we see wherefore or so then he's been talking, and he's saying, because of this, now this. Does that make sense to everybody? Amen. Because this is what I've already explained, and since this is what I've already explained, now let me tell you why this, amen. So we got to look at that. We got to look for words like that in the Word of God. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man, amen, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Wherefore, as evil comes from ourselves, the heart of man, good comes from God. This is where I ended up last week. Many, many times, or Sunday, many, many times in man's life, our motives for doing good are motivated by what we can get in return. Amen. Many, many times. Amen. many, many times. And here's the deal. Only God knows the heart of man. Amen. Only God knows the heart of man. You know, and many, many times, and you see people out there that I know I've been affected by it, and to sit here and say that people have not been affected by it, but our motives for doing good come from our idea or our desire of what we can get in return for doing that good. Amen? So in other words, our motives many times for doing good are motivated by external factors, by things going on the outside. Amen? But God's goodness always comes from the inside. The Bible says that there's no shade of darkness in him. I'm not saying every single time, but we're men. We're women. Amen? We are of a fallen nature. The Bible says that the spirit wars against the flesh and the flesh wars against the spirit. Amen? So I may be the only one being real here, but I know that there has been times in my life, even as being a pastor, that sometimes my reasons for doing something may have been motivated out of selfish reasons. Amen? Anybody else ever done that? Amen? And the amazing thing is, sometimes we may not even realize that. But that's what we don't have to worry about with God, because there's no selfishness in him. For God so loved the world that he gave. Amen? There's no selfishness. Everything that God does is for the betterment of you and I. Not for the betterment of himself, because he can't get no better. Or as we say in Chico, Texas, he can't get no gooder. Amen? God is good. Amen? God is good. So everything, since there's no variable of darkness in him, since there's no sin within him, he can't even do something out of that. He don't even have the ability to do something out of the wrong motive. Amen? So in that trust right there, I can trust that everything God is doing in my life and in your life is motivated by his goodness. And for the betterment of me and you, for our well-being. Now, it may not always look like it, because we're only looking at the circumstances that are right here in front of us. Amen? And then what many of us do is we want to live a life contrary to God's word, and then when something goes wrong, we want to say, why are you doing this to me, God? Amen? So what ends up happening is God does not have any other ability but to do what is good. Amen? See, God is not tempted by sin. The Word of God says, therefore he tempts no man with sin. So in order for God to tempt man with sin, then there'd have to be shadows of darkness in him. Amen? But God, the Bible says that God is not tempted by sin, therefore he tempts no man with sin. Amen? So wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. What does swift to hear mean? It means we ought to be teachable. What does it mean, swift to hear? Does that mean we're to be swift to hear somebody just rambling on and babbling on? No. Does that mean that we're to be swift to hear somebody that has been put in spiritual authority over our life that is speaking into our life? Yes, that's what the Word of God tells us in the book of Hebrews. Amen. Does that mean that we're to be swift to hear the Word of God and what it's saying to us? Yes, that does. So what does it mean to be swift to hear? Does swift to hear, does that mean that I'm just quick to hear with my physical ear? No, that swift to hear means, yes, I want to hear it with my physical ear, but I've got to be swift to put into action, living it out in my life, what I have heard. Because none of us in here have a problem hearing the Word of God with our physical ear, but many, many times we have a problem putting what we've heard into action. That's what it means to be swift to hear. Amen? And many of us say, well, I hear the Word of God. I listen to the Word of God. Yes, we hear it, but we don't put it in action. And if we hear it and not put it in action, then we're not hearing it. Does that make sense? So swift to hear, it means ready to learn. When it comes to hearing the Word of God, let it get in us. We're not to fight against it by rejecting the Word of God. So what does it mean? Swift to hear means that we're not to fight against it. Now, here's where many of us are going to do. We don't have a problem hearing the Word of God, and we're not openly going to say, no, I'm fighting against that. I reject that. I rebuke that. We're not openly going to say that. As a matter of fact, we're going to say things like, I hear the Word of God. I listen to the Word of God. I obey the Word of God. But fighting against the Word of God is not verbally fighting against it, but fighting against it in doing something contrary to what it says in our life. That's what fighting the Word of God is. Amen? And let me say, and let me change that. That's not just physically warned against it. That's even warned against it in our emotions. In other words, in our emotions and in our thoughts and in our hearts and all of that stuff, many, many times we'll hear the word of God, but on the inside of us, we hear ourselves wanting to do something completely contrary to it, don't we? Amen. See, we don't fight against the word of God. We got to fight against that voice in us that's wanting to do something contrary to God's word. That's what we're to fight against. Does that make sense? Amen. So it says swift to hear. And then what does it say? Slow to speak. So many times, I was ministering to a brother here just the other day and going down the road. And, man, I'm just sitting there going down the road. And, man, I'd be around some other people, and I had some guys out at the house from the refuge doing some work at our house. And I was ministering to these guys and talking to these guys. And, man, this guy's there, and he just comes up and starts ta-ta-ta-ta. And, you know, have you ever been around somebody when they just start talking and you know there's no anointing on it whatsoever? You're like, I wish you'd be quiet. Anybody ever know when they just interrupt? Do you know what I'm saying? Well, I've seen that many. I've probably done it. People probably thought that about me before, too. Amen? We probably all done it. But as I was ministering to this young man, I told him, I said, listen, I said, you talk too much. Now, this is going to blow some of y'all's minds, all right? But really, many people think because I'm standing behind a pulpit and you hear me talk for a couple hours every Sunday and every Thursday that I talk a lot. But really, when I'm going somewhere, I don't talk a whole lot. I don't say a whole lot. I don't speak a lot. I don't talk a lot. And some people, man, I think they get nervous and they're so uncomfortable with the atmosphere of just being quiet. I feel like they got to get in a nervous chatter in order to calm themselves. I always tell people, you know how you know when you got a really good friend? Because you don't feel like you got to entertain them all the time by talking. Amen? So what happened? I said, man, you just talk too much. I said, just shh. I said, you ain't got to talk about things that just don't mean nothing. Just pass the time. I'm all right with us riding side by side and looking out the window and not saying nothing. And when there's something to say, we'll say it. But we don't have to just, you know why? Because the more we talk, the more we open up ourselves to temptation to get into sin. Now, I'm going to show you that according to the Word of God. Have you ever started out talking to somebody and then it gradually goes into gossip and then before long you're having to repent for getting yourself caught up in gossip to where if we'd just shut up, we'd have never got there. Amen. I'm going to show you that according to God's word. I know I have. Amen. Now let's look. Swift to hear. We ought to be teachable. Now what does it mean to be, slow to speak? A good way to escape temptation is by being quiet. You know what? A good way to escape the temptation of talking about somebody is what? Be quiet. Because the more you open your lips and the looser they get, the easier it is for those things to start flowing. Ever heard the old saying, loose lips sink ships? Amen? So many of us, see, nobody starts out in a conversation of just bashing somebody. But if somebody throws the bait, if somebody says that bait starts going backwards and forth, it just starts getting a little easier to do. So when we are speaking a lot of words that really have no meaning, then the temptation, we're setting ourselves up with temptation and sin. That makes sense? That's why he says, be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. He says, be quick to hear. What was it I said on Sunday? You ever notice we've got two ears and one mouth? Our ears are open and exposed, but our tongue is hidden behind our lips and teeth. In other words, God's saying, keep it in jail. Amen? So it says, slow to speak. A good way to escape temptation is by being quiet. Man has two ears and one mouth. Their ears are open and exposed. The tongue is walled behind his lips and teeth. Slow to wrath. Be slow about getting into debates. Now, I don't think I made it to the slow to wrath on Sunday. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let men be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. What does it mean when he's talking about here, slow to wrath, slow to anger? Usually when people get in debates, that's when tempers start flaring. That's why I tell people, how many times have you ever heard me say, don't get in arguments on Facebook. Don't get in debates on Facebook. Because what happens is when you start debating with your brother or sister out there, then usually the temptation to take it further is easily introduced. Does that make sense? So So he says, slow to wrath. So now you got to understand the word of God here and what he's saying. He's saying, wherefore, he's saying, so now, brethren, when we look back at the previous stuff, he says, now, my brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So if we will listen before we speak, then we find ourselves not getting near as wrathful. But many times we're spending more time arguing. Let me be. I've always been a fighter. I've always been a brawler. Like I said, I'm seeing the book of James right now like I've never seen it before. I've always been one sit down and say, bless God, that we're going to sit down and we're going to argue this through until we get it handled. But he's saying right here, he's saying, listen, slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to wrath. So, or not in that order, he's saying, I'm sorry, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So be slow, listen to this, be slow about getting into debates, and if you find yourself in one, know when to back out. Because many of us are so driven by pride that even if we're in a debate, we're not going to back out until we prove the other person wrong and myself right. And you know what the sad thing is that's what is causing most of the controversy in the body of Christ. Been guilty of it myself. That if we would take the Word of God tells us that we're to be slow about getting into these debates, slow about getting into debates that cause strife and arguments and contention between the brethren and sistern. We're to be slow about it. We're not to be diving into it. We're not to be getting into it. Does that make sense? So he says, slow to wrath. Now, he's not just talking about, are we to defend the gospel? Yes, we are. Amen. We are to defend the gospel. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is like a lion. Amen. If you open up a cage to a lion, he'll defend himself. Amen. And that's what the gospel does. That the only thing I got to do is open my mouth in reference to the lion of the tribe of Judah, and the word of God will defend itself. Amen. But we put too much time trying to put our point of view into it, and we put our flesh into it, and it ends up in a debate, and it ends up in wrath, and it ends up quarrelsome, and it ends up in strife, and it ends up tearing the body of Christ apart, and we got brothers and sisters that ain't acting no different than people out there that are not born again and saved in the world. Amen? So the Bible tells us that we're to be quick to hear. In other words, it is our job to sit down and hear another person's point of view, listen to the Spirit of God, and then respond in a way that glorifies God with the wisdom of God in order to point a person in the right direction. And then if that person is still not listening, amen, then I'm not to get into a debate with that person and an argument with that person, because the Bible tells me be slow to do that. And the hardest part at that time is the trust, because many times we're sitting there going, oh, if I can get a hold of the way, man, then when we leave, we're like, ooh, I wish I would have thought of this scripture. And then we're like, ooh, you wait till I see him again. Now, is that the love of God? Amen? So let's look. Slow to speak. A good way to escape temptation is by being quiet. Slow to wrath. Be slow about getting in debates that become heated because of much speaking. When was the last time you ever had an argument with yourself? Now, I know there's some folks out there got a couple voices going on the inside of them. They need to be delivered. Amen. Praise God. If you need that, we'll get that handled for tonight's up to. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's hard to argue with somebody that won't argue with you. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, when you quit putting wood on the fire goes out. When you quit throwing an argument back at your brother or your sister, the argument stops. My wife showed me that. I like to argue. And she got to where she wouldn't argue with me. I'd go through the house, walk through the house. She'd go, I ain't going to argue with you. Then all of a sudden, I'd follow her through the house long enough trying to get her to argue. She'd turn around and snap, and I'd say, you got an anger problem. Gotcha. Then I'd be the one saying, I ain't going to argue no more. Then she'd be chasing me through the house. Crazy stuff. Don't act like y'all ain't been there. My wife did a message at the women's breakfast here a while back, said, don't let your crazy show. That means it's there, ladies. Don't think it's not. And men, yeah, it's there. You better be careful what buttons you're pushing on, amen? It says, the longer you stay in a debate, the more heated it becomes and the greater the opportunity for sin. Now think about that. The longer that you and I stay in a quarrelsome debate, amen, the more heated it gets and the greater the opportunity to sin becomes. Has any of us ever? Okay, let me put it to you this way. Have you ever been in an argument with your husband, with your wife, with your boyfriend, with your girlfriend, with a friend, or whatever it is, and man, and you tell yourself, I wish I would have stopped before I said that. Right? You know why we said that? Because the longer we allow ourselves to stay in the debate, the greater the opportunity to sin becomes. So God knows us. He says the greatest way for you to exercise the fruit of the Spirit of self-control is not by staying in the debate and warring against the desire, or staying in the debate, staying in the argument, staying in the quarrel, and warring against the desire on the inside of you to say something. He says, because chances are you ain't going to be that strong. He says, you just need to get out of it. You need to get out of it. Amen? Pray about it. Let God handle it. Amen? And then if you see him again and the opportunity arises, you say what the Word of God says. Then we got to be like Jesus. What did Jesus say? Whenever Pontius Pilate come to him, Jesus said, you ain't got the power to kill me unless it's been given to you by God. Then defended himself not. I want you to know that. That's it. All right? So let's go. For the wrath of man. Now look, we're looking here. Now for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So wherefore, my beloved brethren, when we go back to 19, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now in the next verse, he's saying, because wrath, now he's going back time 19 into 20. Why? Because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. In other words, me getting angry at somebody does not cause them to become righteous to God. You getting angry at somebody, amen, does not cause that person to be righteous to God. Amen. And me getting angry does not cause the righteousness of God to be poured out. The only thing that causes the righteousness of God to be poured out in a man is what? Jesus Christ. For I am the righteousness of God through who? Through Christ Jesus. Amen. It's not by so. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Many times we become angry while debating as if we were competing for God's honor. Think about that. Many, many times, and we're so single-minded on proving my point, proving this person wrong, proving this person I'm more of a biblical scholar and more biblically correct than they are, as if we're competing for the honor of God, or if I can convince this person how dumb and how wrong he is, then God will be sitting in heaven willing to pat me on the back saying, way to go, Kevin. Well, really, I don't even recognize it by staying in the debate and staying in the argument, staying heated in the argument, staying in the wrath, that even in the midst of that, even though I'm throwing the Word of God out, throwing the Word of God out, throwing the Word of God out, I am doing exactly what God said not to do. Now, I know many times people are going to come in there and say, well, look what Paul did, okay? Paul, there is a difference between being able to sit down and have a conversation, an open dialogue backwards and forth about the Word of God, amen, going back and be able to have a conversation without getting heated and into an argument. There's a difference there. But most times today, when we look out there on Facebook, when we look at people that are sitting down with the Word of God, that becomes a heated argument. And many times, what does it do? It severs the body by severing relationships. And that's not honoring to God either. Amen? Does that make sense? Amen. So God is telling us, hey. And you know when I think he's being quick to listen, slow to speak? I think really what he's saying is, hey, quick to listen to what I'm saying to you. What am I saying to you? Amen. Giving God the opportunity to bring his Spirit up from the deposits that I've made, bring his Word up from the deposits in my, what I like to call, heavenly bank account. Amen. So, it says, for the wrath of man worketh not. The anger of man, the wrath of man, the debating of man, the quarreling of man, the strife of man, none of this stuff brings about the righteousness of God. Amen. This is far from working that which is righteous in God's sight. True righteousness is sown in peace. The Bible says in James 3:18, And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. I've never really seen this before. Man, I don't know if y'all know it or not, but I've always been a fighter. I said that a while ago. In the world, I was a fighter. Bar fights, I loved it. I was good at it. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed putting my authority and my power, forcing my will on somebody else, being honest with you. I did. And you know what? Sometimes I might still be that way with God's word. Sometimes that old man, I don't fight with fists no more. Amen. But I sure might. See, just like in the world, see, I had this, I can't say God-given ability, but I had this natural ability that I just could take care of things. I could get stuff done. You know what I mean? And God's given me this voice, and God's given me this very authoritative voice. In some way, sometimes I've been in arguments, I've been in debates where I don't exercise the physical authority anymore, but I exercise the knowledge that I have in the Word of God in an authoritative way that would still intimidate somebody. To where in the world, I'd be like, man, you know, I'd be right at, you know, you start bowing up and you start doing all that to intimidate. And sometimes with the Word of God, I'm just going, I know I've done this many times. To where I still use the same thing, the authority of my voice, the leaning over, maybe even the body language, maybe even looking at somebody a little bug-eyed. And still exercising that authoritative personality, amen, in order. And I don't think that's what God's teaching us to do here. Amen. Does that make sense? Now, there's a time for that. So he's saying right here, so God, that's what I ask, forgive us. Because you know what? And I ain't going to come in here and start talking to y'all in a soft, easy-spoken voice, so don't get carried away on that side either. Amen? No, I ain't going to do that. But God, you know what, God? God is going to teach this church right here. You know what I had to ask God? I've been asking God this for a while. I've been saying, God, I need to have the compassion that Jesus Christ had. I need to have the compassion. And I know many of y'all probably sitting out there saying, yep, you sure do. Chances are you do too. Amen. But I need that compassion. I need that love for mankind. Now, I want to see people get saved. I want to see people miss hell. I want to see that happen. But I think sometimes, I'm just going to be real with you, that we can get in a mode that becomes my job as a pastor just like any other job out there. See, I want my motivation to be fueled by compassion. I want my motivation to be fueled not by this is what a preacher does, but I want my motivation to be fueled by the compassion, the life-giving Spirit of God. So that's what I've been asking God to do in my life. What are you asking God to do in your life? Amen. Lord, because, you know, I told y'all here a couple weeks ago. I said, just a couple things I ain't real good at. Going to hospitals and visiting with people when they lose a loved one. It's not because I don't care. It's not because I don't want to. But, man, that's like putting gloves on my feet. It's just weird to me. I don't know why. Has anybody else got anything that's just weird to you? And you would rather just get a needle poked in your eye than have to do it? Am I the only one in here that's got some issues? and you know what? And I'm praying, Lord, help me. I know there's some areas I need God's help in. Amen. Thank you, Brother Tim. Tim said, amen, Lord. He does get him, Jesus. But, you know, if I can say anything that has come out of this, all of this, and I use this because this is one of the best experiences that I've had in my life is what's went on right here at this church. Because it has really, really caused me to do what I've always preached on. It says, examine yourself. See, listen, I'm going to get into this in a minute, but I can sit there and say we can do this, but it all boils down to, am I loving my brother as I do myself? That's what it all boils down to. Amen? And many, many times we go through the motions and we know the things to say and we go through it and we go through it and we go through it. But, man, am I truly loving with the compassion of God? Amen? That makes sense? So let's look. It says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. What happens is when we get in debates, they get heated as if we're competing for the honor and the love of God. And God is no respecter of persons. Listen to me. If you're born again and saved, if you've been born again and saved for 20 years, God loves the heroin addict, prostitute, pimp under the street bridge just as much as he loves the one that's been serving God. Matter of fact, he didn't come to die for the righteous. He came to die for the lost. See, and that's the true love of God. The true love of God is giving whatever it is that you can give, expecting nothing in return. I want that to be my motivation. The purest of motives. Amen? Because I didn't have nothing to give to God. I had nothing to offer to God. And anything that I did have to offer to him was because he gave it to me first. If I had a voice to offer him, it's because he gave me that voice. If I got a body to offer him, it's because he gave me that body. The only thing that I'm doing is giving back to him which he made to be his in the first place. And to realize that God has put me here in order to be the conduit to man on earth in order to reveal the love that he has for them. So it says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So true righteousness is not sown in debating and quarreling and arguing and strife. True love of God, or the Bible says in James 3:18, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Sometimes in order to make peace, we got to draw back. And then sometimes to make peace, you got to drop some bombs. But you know what? Randy, you've been in the military. You ever seen a plane that drops bombs just sit there while they're dropping, or do they keep moving? Say what needs to be said out of love. We need to start praying that our words that we speak be packaged in the love of God. Amen. So let's look here. Verse 21 says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Lay apart, which means once for all. That's what lay apart means. It says, wherefore, once for all, okay? It says, once for all, lay apart, do away with filthiness. Now, what is filthiness? As you would remove, and just right here, as you would remove a filthy garment, we're cleansed by hearing the word. John 15:3 says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So this is what it means to hear the word, okay? Now, if somebody walked up to you, all right, they walked up to you, and they looked at your clothes. Let's say you walked into a room, all right? Nobody get weird about this, but I'm just using this as an example. Let's say you walked into a room, okay? Your clothes are filthy. You've had them on for many days, and they start stinking. And if your wife or your daughter or somebody walks up to you and says, hey, Dad, your clothes stink, and they're filthy, all right? Then what you would do is chances are you're going to change those clothes. Nobody's going to just keep on purposely wearing the same filthy clothes day after day after day unless they have absolutely no other option. Okay? And this is what God is saying. He's saying in the same way that you would put those aside, he says put away the actions of our life that are not glorifying him. Put it away. See, we'll never change that which we don't recognize as filthy. Amen. And we will never be able to convince somebody that they need to change of that which they don't recognize as sin. See, we're spending too many times trying to get people to change if they don't see what's wrong with what's going on. That's impossible. It wears you down. Amen. Our job is to preach the gospel. So let's look here. It says, wherefore, lay apart, all right, once for all, filthiness, to remove the filthy garments. Just as we change our clothes, many, many times we got to change our atmosphere. We got to change our friends. We got to change our words. We got to change our thinking. We got to start changing that kind of stuff. Does that make sense? And in order to change your thinking don't change by just sitting back doing nothing. In order to change your thinking, you got to change what you listen to. You got to change what you watch. You got to change who you hang around. You got to change the things that you allow into your life. You got to change those things. Amen? So filthiness. So now Jesus said you are clean through the word. Now, so why do we got to change that stuff? Because look, if I take dirt and I start putting it on my clothes, what's going to happen? That dirt is going to stick to my clothes, isn't it? If I take ketchup and I put it on my clothes, what's going to happen? I'm going to get stained. Whatever I'm putting on me is going to stick to my attire. Come on now. And my mind is no different. That's why it says put aside all. See, whatever I'm allowing around me, just like dirt and oil and stains and sweat sticks to my clothes, this stuff sticks to my mind. And I sit here and I think that it doesn't. I sit here and I think that I can just listen to whatever I want to and call it entertainment or whatever. And I don't even understand that I need my mind needs to be washed by the Word of God, because there's something wrong in me thinking that I can partake of it and it doesn't affect me. That'd be like me putting dirt on my clothes and not thinking it gets them dirty. Anybody knows that, right? And then what do? Your clothes get dirty. What do? Come on now. I was fitting to say one of my favorite sayings, but the Lord said, don't say it. Come on. Let's just think about it. An unborn again, demon possessed heathen, drug addict, alcoholic, pimp, prostitute. I see people on the streets that have no home, no showers, no clean clothes, no nothing. And you know what the first thing they ask me the first time is? Can I take a shower or can I wash my clothes? I don't have no clean clothes. How many times you heard that, Brady? How many times you heard that, Jim? Yeah, what was it? We hear that. Even a person recognizes when they need to change their clothes, because something from the outside has got on them and changed the appearance and changed the way it smells and changes it. How come we as Christians cannot understand, amen, that the things of the world, whatever we're allowing to go on, whatever we're allowing to go around us, whatever we're allowing into our eyes, into our ears, into our house, that it does the same thing, that it sticks to our mind and causes our thinking to stink and causes our minds to become polluted with the things of the world. And just like you go put your clothes in the washer and in the dryer, Jesus said in John 15:3 that the word of God has washed you and made you clean. So how do we start getting that garbage thinking, that garbage living, those garbage ways out of our life? Is we got to take the trash out. And we start playing the word. We start hearing the word. We start listening to the word. And then all of a sudden, as we start listening to the word, our mind starts getting washed. Our mind starts getting washed by the Word of God. And then all of a sudden, when our mind starts getting washed, we ain't making excuses for doing the things that we're doing, because the Word of God is washing our mind, and the bleach of the Holy Ghost is getting in there and washing things out. And it's changing the way that we think, and it's changing the way that our stinking thinking, our stinking garments, and all of that stuff. But we got to be willing to change. The reason people stay like they are is because they do not allow the power of the Word of God to wash them. That many times the only church that people get, the only word that they get is on a Wednesday night or a Sunday or a Thursday or on a Sunday. And we give God 2 hours a week, and then the other 96 hours of the week or whatever it is, we're either sleeping or we're at work 8 hours a day, listening to ungodly stuff, listening to people gripe, listening to people bellyache, listening to people moan. And then what ends up happening? We end up getting home, and all of that pollution from the world has stained the garment of our mind. And by the time that we get home, we're like, I am just so fed up. You need to take a Holy Ghost bath in the Word of God and cleanse you. When you don't feel like reading the Word, that's when you need to be in the Word. Because you got to realize that it's the attack of the things of the world that is trying to keep you from the very thing that wants to cleanse you and bring peace to you. Y'all getting anything out of this? Filthiness. And he says, now check this out. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That just means continuing in sin. And receive the meekness. Now listen, receive with meekness. He's saying receive with meekness. Now, you know what this means? Not with hostility against God's ways. See, many times we mistake a kind voice as humility. Anybody tell me what I mean when I say that? We mistake a kind voice as humility. See, somebody can come in and they can sit there and they can say, yes, amen, and we can sit there and go through. But listen, to receive it with meekness, to receive it, that word, it says, not with wrath and hostility toward one another, but in mildness and humility, which is just the opposite of angry debating. See, up here he's telling us, he says, don't get into debates. Don't be slow to speak, quick to listen. Slow to wrath. Why? Because the wrath of God, the wrath of man does not bring about what? The righteousness of God. And then he's saying, put aside, he says, wherefore put aside, lay apart all filthiness. What is he talking about? Debating, arguing, quarreling. Why? Because we got to take it. See, it's easy when we talk about this to talk about the big sins. See, it's easy to talk about the fornicating, the drugs, the alcohol, the pornography, and all that. But Paul right here, he's talking about getting into debates, quarreling and arguing. See, I can stay away from the drugs. I can stay away from the alcohol. I can stay away from the pornography. But, boy, sometimes it's hard. I want to get right up in it. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? And God's saying, hey, McFly, you're the one I'm talking about. Lord, you know I'm trying to get this person to understand your ways. He's saying, I've been trying to for years. If I can't, you ain't God. Either they're going to follow God or they're not. Going to hell or heaven, one, two. You got about 75 years to make that decision. Amen. God's drawing you. How do I know God's drawing you? Because you're hearing the gospel. The gospel is the invitation. Amen? So let's look at it. It says, with meekness. So now, listen. Now let's read this together. It says in 1:19, it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart filthiness. And so, in other words, he's saying the continuance of sin. Why? Because he's saying if we continue in debates, then the opportunity for sin gets larger. If we continue in arguing. And now, am I talking about a good, healthy debate about the Word of God? No. I'll tell you what. One of the healthiest debates that I can have about the Word of God is with a man that says he's an atheist. I'm serious. I talk to this man pretty frequent. Yeah. Been to church here a few times. Says he's a full-blown atheist. I said, you're a full-blown fool. I said, I didn't say it. Word of God says it. And but we sat down, and me and this man, we can go backwards and forth and actually have a conversation that both of us enjoy. It never turns into an argument. It has not turned into a anger. As a matter of fact, whenever he gets up to leave, he'll always come over to me and say, "Hey, Kevin, man." He goes, "Man, I just want you to know I appreciate that." He said, "Man, we can sit down and talk." He said, "So many times I talk to other people, and, man, they want to fight and ridicule me and argue with me and all that stuff." And I'm like, "Well, you may talk to some other people, I guess, because they'll probably tell you that is me, but Holy Ghost got me right here, amen." But I'm really trying to change that in my life. Amen? I am. I really am. So y'all pray for me. Because I've always been a fighter. You know? But I can have this conversation. Now, if I try to get into a conversation with one of my brothers in the Lord about something about the Lord, it ends up in people, man, leaving the church, getting what, you know, see, something there ain't right. And I'm not saying not right on their part, my part too. You see what I'm saying? See, we need to mature. As a body of Christ, as a body of believers. Y'all understand what I'm saying? That don't mean that we lay down and become doormats, but I do believe that it means that in the way that we present our arguments, for the lack of a better term. Y'all with me tonight? Amen? So, let's see here. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness. See, I need to receive with meekness. See, if I got a brother that's speaking the word of God to me and it's in the proper context, then I need to receive that with meekness. Why? Because it's not his word, but it's the word of God. It's the written word of God that's coming into my life. And many, many times we cannot receive the word of God in our life with meekness. So what do? We rise up against it. There's something that rises up against it. Why? Because there's still a part of me in my life that I want to be God of, and I'm not turning it over to the one true God. And listen to me. God don't want to share no shelf space in your heart with him. He wants it all. And the only thing that anger does in our life many, many times is reveal the shelf space in our heart that's taken up by something else that we're not willing to give unto God. That's where that many, many times comes from. So let's look at this. Meekness, not in wrath or hostility toward God's word or toward one another, but in mildness, humility, which is just the opposite of angry debating. You think about the ones that I go back, I was reading the story of David here a while back, a couple months ago. Remember when Absalom come in and tried to take over the throne of David? And when you read through Samuel or Kings, I can't remember which one it is, and David is sitting there walking, and there's a man that's walking beside him, following him, right beside him, hurling accusations at him, calling him names, cussing at him, spitting on him, picking up rocks and chunking them at him, and hitting him with rocks. David never said a word. David could have had that man's head taken that quick, and we'd have think he'd have been justified in doing it. But he said, you know what? He said, through all this, God's going to be glorified. I said, wow. That's when I really started reading that. I said, God, that wouldn't be me. I said, I would take that joker out. I would. But I sat there and I said, he wasn't even saved, Lord. Yet he had something that I don't. Wow. You know, the Spirit of God wasn't living in man then. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't think none of us know exactly how that worked. I know the Spirit of God come upon people at that time in order to accomplish a certain thing, you know. But he didn't dwell because we had not yet been washed in the blood. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God cannot dwell in an unclean temple. So at that time, Jesus Christ had not yet died and been the sacrifice. So the Spirit of God could come upon a man and complete a certain task for a certain time. But I don't think in the Old Testament that he was dwelling in the heart of man as he is now. You know what I'm saying? But I looked at that and I said, Lord, you know what? That the fruit of the Spirit, they didn't have the fruit of the Spirit then. The fruit of the Spirit hadn't been written about. And I thought, Lord, that man right there, the things that were said against him, the things that he was accused of, this man throwing rocks at him, this man spitting on him, hurling names at him, doing all that stuff. I said, would I do that? Would you do that? That requires a response. Y'all all acting like you're invisible. Y'all waiting to see what I'd do? Y'all know what I'd do. Pray for me. Because here, I truly have a desire in my heart to become that man, amen, that is not moved by what man says, not moved by what man thinks. I want to see the compassion and the love of God and start seeing people as that, you know what, they're just a lost soul and they have no understanding. And I want the compassion of God to come out of me like it did Jesus when he looked at those that were roaming around and he said they were all like sheep without a shepherd, and he was moved with compassion. That's what I want to see come out of me. I don't want to see it come 30 minutes later after I have my blow up and my fit and then say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to see it now, because my response that I have at that moment could draw somebody in or push somebody away. Amen? Am I preaching to anybody tonight? All right. He says, receive it with meekness, what the engrafted word. And what is the engrafted word? Which is able to save your souls. The engrafted word. That's the word of God that is engrafted in us by the Holy Spirit. It's like the fruitful, I guess the lack of a better word, shoot that comes off a stalk. Y'all know what a shoot is? A shoot is, see, the stalk is the main. You know a stalk doesn't produce fruit. You don't, let me change that. It does, but you don't see the fruit coming off the stalk. You see it coming off the shoots or the branches or the vines. But without the stalk, there's no shoots, which means there's no fruit. See, we are to receive the engrafted word of God. So what is it? The engrafted, see, in the Old Testament, amen, our righteousness was obtained by outward doings. But now God wants that righteousness to come from the inside of us. See, outward doings never made us righteous on the inside, but being righteous on the inside changes our outward doings. That's the fruit. See, fruit never changes the stalk, but the stalk always produces the fruit. Amen? So the engrafted word of God, I wrote here as I was studying that out, the word of God is engrafted in us by the Holy Spirit, just like a seed is planted in the ground, amen? And then as the stalk grows, as it comes up out of the ground, you'll see a shoot come out of the stalk. See, the stalk has got to be there first in order to produce the shoot. And the stalk is what produces the nourishment and the things needed to support the shoot. Without the stalk, the shoot would fall to the ground. And you see, God is the stalk, amen, and you and I are nothing more than the shoot, the branch, as we preached about a couple weeks ago. So let's look. As a fruitful shoot, or as a shoot that produces fruit from a stalk, let me skip over that. The law came to man only from without and told him his duty. The gospel is engrafted and causes us to produce fruit from within. Fruit is never produced from the outside in. It's always produced from the inside out. Okay, now listen to me. Do we want to start seeing this fruit being produced? Do I want to start seeing this love and compassion being produced in my life? Do we want to start seeing this love and this passion and these fruit of the Spirit produced in our life? Then it's never produced from the outside in. Think about that. It's only produced from the inside out. What does that mean? If he tells me to receive the engrafted word, the shoot is engrafted into the stalk. It's attached to the stalk. So the only way that I'm going to be able to produce the
fruit is I have got to get the holy, the word of God in me and grafted in me, the seed of the word of God in me. And when I have the seed of the word of God in me, then it is just natural for the fruit to be produced. So let me ask you this. You may sit there and say, well, okay, Kevin, there's some, then where's the fruit of this in your life? Where's the fruit of that in your life? It's time to plant some different seeds. If you want to see a different fruit, if you want to get tomatoes, you don't keep planting corn seeds. See, I've always been very evangelistic. Bam, bam, bam. And I've seen thousands of people come to Christ. Hundreds, I don't know, I wouldn't say hundreds of thousands, but thousands. Thousands. I've seen thousands. And I may have spoke this to somebody the other day. And I said, but you know what I believe God is really, really doing? Instead of me evangelizing the flock, he wants me to pastor the flock now. Instead of me trying to get the flock saved, he wants me to teach the flock. And if this is what it took in this body to happen, then so be it. It's a lesson chalked up by God. Amen. Then so be it. I don't care how it comes, just as long as I get it. I don't care how it comes, as long as we get it. Amen. So what ends up happening is now, what am I going to have? Man, I've studied evangelism. I've studied reaching the lost. I've studied preaching to the lost. I've studied how to use the law in order to bring the lost to Christ. I know it. I can do it. And there's fruit from it. But I think God's telling me now it's time to plant some different kind of seeds. And when I say different kind of seeds, I'm not talking about that we ain't going to be reaching the lost. I'm not talking about that, amen? We're still going to be in the same garden. We're still going to be in the Word of God. This is the garden, amen? But really, God's talking to me now. I've been praying about that love. I've been praying about that compassion. So now, in order to get that love, in order to get that compassion, guess what I'm going to have to be studying about? Guess what seeds I'm going to have to be putting in me? Here's what many people think. Many people think that love and that compassion is going to be me walking around limp-wristed and all that, saying, you know, all and no. Many people are going to be, in order to be loved, you got to talk like this, and you got to have a soft voice, and you got to just, no matter what's going on. No. That love and that compassion, what I'm talking about, probably ain't even going to be something that you see. But it's the motive on the inside of me, the purpose driven on the inside of me, is that I don't want to be a person anymore that just reaches people because that's what I do. But I truly want it to be motivated by the love and the compassion of God. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? And I'm going to tell you what, that was a heartbreaking revelation to me about myself. Ain't no preacher going to want to stand up here and say that. But, hey, what we got to lose? Amen. 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 Right. It's all right. I believe we got David's mighty women and a few men here. Amen. I believe that's what we got. So, fruit is never produced from the outside in. It's always produced from the inside out. So if I want something to come out of me, then I got to put something in me. See, if I want something to come out of my garden, whatever I want to come out of my garden, that's the kind of seed I got to put in it. Let me ask you this. Is anybody in here, is God dealing with you about the seed you're planting in the garden of your heart? If he's not, ask him to. He will. He'd be more than happy to. He's a lot more willing to answer than we are to ask. Amen? I told my wife here a while back, I said, you know what people have told me? They said that I'm not real easy to come and talk to. I said, that's bull. Yeah. said, can you believe that garbage? I don't know. Maybe I'm not. I don't have no problem talking to me. But I do know this. I want to be a person that's approachable, because if a person has got an issue going on in life, I know that I've got the wisdom of God to deal with it. Now, here's what's got to happen on the flip side. You can't be using that as your excuse not to approach things that need to be addressed either. Because there's been many, many people that have come to me that thought I was very unapproachable. And once we get in that office, they're like, well, Kevin, I didn't know you was this easy going. Then there's many people that's come to me and they walked out and it looked like they was drinking out of a fire hydrant too. Cheeks that are going. Amen. I'm done. Let's pray. Did y'all get anything out of this tonight? Amen. I don't know, really. I'm just preaching to you what God's revealing to me the past few weeks. Amen. And that is it. That's all I can do. Amen. You either accept it, you reject it, you run with it. But just like Paul said, many listened. Many left. Many said, we'll hear you later on this subject. Amen. But here's what I do know. I know God's at work. Amen. I do know God is at work. Amen. And I rejoice for that. I'm glad that I hear God's voice. I'm glad that I feel like I'm hearing God more clear now than I have in a long time. Amen. And I think sometimes we all go through that. But you know what? Everything, we must trust in God. That everything that God is doing in our life is for our good. We may not see it right then. We may not understand it right then. And we may make some stupid decisions in the midst of Him trying to do good. But here's what I do know now more than I've ever known before. That God does not have the ability not to do good. Amen. And even though in my life and even though in your life, some of the circumstances that happen to us is a result of God not be, of us not being obedient to what God was wanting to do in us a long time ago. So what does He do? He's got to shake the tree a little bit. Amen. He got to shake the tree a little bit. And if that's what He's got to do, in order to get it to us, I just thank God that that none of us had ended up like Nicodemus, with claws growing out and feathers growing on us and a thick dew following us around and living in the wilderness for 7 years. Amen? Because God's going to do whatever He's got to do in order to get our attention. And that is one of the greatest signs outside of Him giving His Son, Jesus Christ, of His love and His mercy and His relentless chase of us. He's relentless, as the song says. He's not willing to lose any. He said, not one be snatched from my hand. God is relentless in ministering to us and trying to reach us, trying to get us to hear His voice. There's so many of us, we should already be dead and gone, locked up in prison, the key thrown away. But we don't see the goodness of God sitting right in front of us right now. We don't see the opportunity that God has given to us to hear another message, to hear another altar call, to hear another song, to hear another sermon, to come across another stranger on the road that just says, God bless us. And we take the small opportunities that God has given us for granted, and we lose our gratitude for God and all that He's doing. Lord, help us to see You even in the small things again. Amen. In Jesus' name. God bless y'all. We love y'all. Amen. Anybody need prayer tonight? If anybody needs prayer, I'm going to stand here for a couple minutes. I'll pray for you. Amen. I ain't going to stand here all night, so get on down here and let's get it going. Or somebody, I was at a funeral one time. Tell y'all a quick story. Come on down. tell that story. I was at a funeral one time. Good friend of mine goes to this church. Preacher was up here preaching the funeral, and the guy that was the pastor of the church, he was sitting over there, and he walks up right in the middle of the service while he's preaching the funeral, and he walks up there and he shoves the preacher out of the way. And he goes, "Hey, y'all." He goes, "Once this sermon's done," he said, "y'all ain't got time to be standing out there in the halls and parking lots talking. Them limos got to be back by 2. He went back over and sat down. I know, Chloe, I like this guy right here. I'm going to come to all his funerals. Y'all come on down here. We'll pray for you. Amen.